What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, March 12th, 2026. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, as always, to be found on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your heads. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters that we have on this show each and every week, starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. He is Bucky's tag team partner, the man with the bionic back, destined to one day go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how you doing up there with this wacky weather you guys are having in the Northeast?
It's fine. I would like to point out that I work in the oil industry. And so if you don't know what that means, watch the nightly news for a half hour.
Yeah.
So my life has been miserable at work.
Yeah. You've probably had a shit week, at least probably a shit couple of weeks, I would imagine.
It's been fun.
I'm not sure fun is the word. It's an F-U word, but it's not fun. And the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures. He is the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He is the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel. Rob, sir, how are you doing? You were telling me in the pre-show, wacky weather where you're at, right?
Yeah, now Maryland is known for having just wild weather fluctuations sometimes. Or just having, you know, we had snow in May one year when I was in high school. And sometimes it gets warmer than expected. And here this week, yesterday, it got up to 85, which for March is a bit much.
It's hot down here. I'm in Florida. For those of you new to the show, I'm the guy with the award-winning and holy beard DJ here in Florida. It's been in the 80s. Like today was like mid-high 80s. I think we topped out at 89 at one point. It didn't last long, but that's hotter than it. It's unseasonably warm right now down here, which I hate. I go into the summers here kicking and screaming, and we've got some things lined up over the next couple of months that are outside things, and it's going to be sweltering, I think. Not looking forward to that. My week's been odd. The work week has lasted 9 days, and I swear seven of them were Mondays. So there's that. But then my kids turned 21 on Tuesday. I have twins, and they turned 21 on Tuesday, and the realization of that has been wild. Like, in my head, they're still like 12 or 13 years old, and here they are both old enough to drink. So that's been a wild thing for me, but I got to do a shot with my son, you know, legally. I mean, we've let him have like a glass of wine here, you know, or a sip of something there for the last couple of years, but an official here's a shot, kid, let's throw it back. So that was pretty cool. You know, I thought that was a nice little rite of passage.
What was it and how did he do?
It was Maker's Mark bourbon.
Nice.
And he's not a fan.
That poor boy. Don't shoot Maker's Mark. You sip it.
Well, you sip it, but I was the only stuff I had for shooting. You know, because I don't really do vodka, and with the diabetes, I don't do rum anymore. I have rum in there. He probably could have done a shot of rum. But no, me, him, and
you hear that, ladies and gentlemen, whiskey never abandons you.
Nope. Whiskey's always there for you. So me, him, my girlfriend, we did a, you know, we did a shot of whiskey, and then he went out with his friends and had a couple more drinks and some dinner. So, but it was, I mean, it's like you said, just one, the realization that they're getting older, but two, the sobering reality of the fact that I am getting older. Yeah. So I was in my feelings there for a good day or so, but anyway, we are not here to talk to you about that. This is a wrestling podcast, and we are going to talk some wrestling tonight. But that's going to be on the back half of the show, because I kind of wanted to do something a little bit different tonight. I messaged my boys around lunchtime, about midday, and I tasked them with something, and we lost Jason again. Uh-oh. And Rob's yawning over there. He's already nodding off on me, yeah. The king of the power nap. So we'll give Jason a minute to come back in here. But before he does, we can kind of pick up where I was talking about. So, Rob, you've got two, right? And one of them's 18 now, 19?
Oh, my daughter will be 21 this year.
Oh God, 21. Okay.
Yeah. And my son will be 16.
Okay, that's right. Your oldest is about the same age as my kids, as I remember that now. Because they graduated same year. So
yeah.
All right, Jason. 21 and 16. What a year, Dad.
Yeah.
So Jason is back.
Good going. Yeah, no, cool. I had to step away real quick.
Okay, no, that's all good. That's all good. So as I was saying, I tasked my guys with coming up with this little game I wanted to play here. And it was something that I saw on X. Somebody had posted something a couple days ago. They're like, name a movie that you've never seen that people would be surprised to know you haven't. And I thought that might be a fun little game to play here tonight. And I think what we'll do is we'll just do around the room with each one, you know, we can start with one of them and we'll just go around until we get through. I don't know how many everybody picked. I came up with five. There's certainly a lot more that I haven't seen that people might look at and go, wow, I can't believe you've seen that. But I picked at least four that might actually shock people, and one that it probably isn't so shocking, but maybe a little bit. So were you guys able to come up with five? Or Jason, I know you like to do these things on the fly, and I know Rob was still.
I came up with a couple, with two or three.
Two or three? Okay, then if pretty, we don't make all five, then we'll do two or three. And you can do five?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll start with Rob. Why don't you go with your first one?
Okay. The Godfather.
Jesus.
And here's why I have not seen it. Well, one, so when I first heard about it, I heard it was like 3 hours long. But the other thing is that over the years, like, so many people, like, quote it so much, and so many people talk about scenes from the movie so much that it felt like, well, I know everything that happened. You know? And so I've never been in any rush to go sit through 3 hours with Godfather since I already know everything that happened.
Okay. I have a couple of movies on my list that are that very thing. And we'll get to those as we go along. But Jason, what about you?
Off the top of my head, one I always think of is, and it's because I've seen all of the other ones, most of the TV shows, and most of everything, and everybody knows I'm a sci-fi guy, I've never seen Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Yeah. Now, is that because you just don't want to see
it? I've seen Search for Spock. I've seen, like, all the new ones. I've seen Undiscovered Country. I rented Undiscovered Country an ungodly amount of times from our video store. I don't know why my parents didn't buy it for me.
Have you at least seen it?
But no, the first Star Trek, the motion picture, I still have never seen it.
Okay, have you at least seen Wrath of Khan?
Yeah. I've literally seen all of the other ones. Oh, well, at least once. The one with the whales and when they go back in time and stuff, I saw, well, that was four, I think. I saw that once.
But
I've even seen that one, which is, I think, widely considered the worst one.
What? No.
So,
four from the worst one, Bubba. No,
I saw it when I was very young and probably didn't care about the emotional gravitas.
As long as the one that they went to find God exists,
that's the worst
will one. Never that be the worst one. One.
That is the worst one. By far.
Jesus. Undiscovered Country also had a lot of action, so.
Yeah.
So, Jason, let me ask you this about it. Is it just because you just don't want to see it or you haven't had the opportunity to?
Because it's just never happened. I've never, like, and even because of this, I'm probably going to watch it, like, at some point this month.
Yeah.
Just because I've been talking about this. But
I'll tell you, because it's one of my favorite movies that people don't like, because it is very slow. I'm going to be honest with you. It's very slow, but I'll tell you what, visually, dude, it holds up 40 years later. I just watched it. Keenan and I do a a marathon about once a year, because she's got them all on Blu-ray. She's got like the entire movie collection on Blu-ray. And we'll throw them in there, and we'll just start off with the first one. And like you said, for the visuals, that opening, there's an opening scene where they leave Earth and they go to the Enterprise. Like, the Enterprise has been re-outfitted, and there's that opening scene where you fly in there is just beautiful, and it's all models and miniatures, but it just
and that's why, man, that stuff still
so
holds
fucking
up.
Beautiful, it really does. It's so well done. I read an interview one time with William Shatner. He's like, they spent all the movie on the damn special effects and not the story, which is part of the problem with that movie. The story is interesting, especially when you get to the very end. But it's a slow burn. It really is. I think that's its biggest fault. It's a slow burn. There ain't a lot of action. So, no, okay. All right. So my first one, I'm going to go with a simple one here. Again, this is not a huge shocker, but Talladega Nights. Yeah, it's just, I'm not a big Will Ferrell fan, for starters. And then couple that with I'm meh to indifferent on NASCAR. It was just never a movie that's like, I probably passed by people watching it at their houses. Like, if I'm visiting, they'll have it on. But to sit down and watch it, I've never seen it.
Interesting. That's a good, right. I mean, it is, if you don't like Will Ferrell's humor, it is the worst movie to watch, aside maybe from Anchorman. So, I get it.
I have a weird love-hate affair with Will Ferrell. I like him when he's not the star. Because I've seen him.
I was just about to say, he's the best when he's a co-star.
Because what was that show? Did you ever watch Eastbound and Down?
Yep.
Eastbound and Down is wild, Rob. It is wild. Yeah, it's so irreverent. But he was enjoyable in that. I really enjoyed that show. So, all right, Rob, what's your number two?
My number two, the James Bond series. I've seen a couple of them, but I've just never been interested in watching them.
Okay,
really?
That's
And then what little interest I might have had once Bourne and Mission Impossible came along, those were more
decidedly different movies. Yes,
yeah, right. Well, I think spy stuff, that's what I'm into. That's my wheelhouse for spy stuff.
Right. So, out of curiosity, which ones have you watched?
All right. I've seen...
I've seen the Daniel Craig ones, at least.
Yes. Okay, I saw Dr. No.
Okay.
I saw the one with Halle Berry in it.
That was Daniel Craig's first one.
For the obvious reason.
The world is not enough.
No, that was Die Another
Day. Or Tomorrow Never Dies.
No, it was Die Another Day with Halle Berry.
Die Another Day. Jeez.
Yeah.
So many Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan, yeah.
It was Pierce Brosnan. For some reason, I thought it was Daniel Craig.
Other than that, I mean, I haven't watched any of the Daniel Craig ones.
Casino Royale is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah. I saw, Live and Let Die. Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
Great theme.
See, I never got hooked on the Daniel Craig movies. I've seen Casino Royale, and I've not seen one since. Pierce Brosnan is probably my sweet spot for Bonds, although the Bond that I was introduced to, other than what my mom used, because my mom was a Sean Connery era Bond girl, I enjoyed Roger Moore. He was my introduction to the Bond universe. First one I saw was For Your Eyes Only on HBO, and I was just hooked on Bond after that. And then I went back retroactively and watched all the Sean Connery ones. So, yeah, big Bond people in our house. Again, that's another series that Tina has all of them, minus the Daniel Craig ones on Blu-ray.
Yeah, my grandparents had all of them growing up on VHS. So the Bond was pretty big in our house too. But the Daniel Craig Bonds, Rob, I would definitely give them a watch. Like, because you like the Bourne movies.
They're a bit more gritty.
And to me, they were closer to the James Bond character that Ian Fleming wrote. He is a cold, parasocial, like, sociopath. Like, and he's working through shit. Like, it's real. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's a bit more visceral than the other ones were.
So. Yep.
Jason, what's your number two?
It's kind of a weird one because I've only seen one and I'm going to paint with a blanket or paint with a broad brush. Never seen one Friday the 13th movie. I have seen Freddy versus Jason once. That is it. You run into him during Halloween and stuff. So I've seen probably 45 minutes total of the whole series. But yeah, and obviously with the titular character, you know, one would think that I'd take a passing, you know, watch. No, I just am, and I'm like that with a lot of horror movies. I could do the, I've never seen one Nightmare on Elm Street all the way through. Like we could go for days about horror movies.
I'm not a horror either, so,
yeah. And I'm going to round out that trifecta. I've seen some horror movies I've enjoyed. Like, I probably watched the first four Nightmare on Elm Street movies, but I'm not, like, Tina loves them. She loves hack slasher flicks and thrillers and just the spooky shit. Like, she's into all the paranormal ones.
For me, Thrillers was the first Silent Hill movie. Not any of the other ones, because they were all gore fest, ridiculous. Like, we're just doing monsters again. But, like, where you almost feel like you're in a fever dream kind of movie. Like, but you're also very locked in the real world, and it's very scary. That's my kind of horror.
Okay, yeah, and that's identifiable. I can get with that. Let's keep it on the horror theme, because this one shocks my friend every time he and I talk about it. I've never seen any of the, aside from Tina watches these things, so over her shoulder if I'm coming in and out of the room, I've never seen in its entirety the first Halloween, like, ever. And that blew people's minds, because that one was a genre changer. And it was such a catalyst for a lot of other things. And, you know, I typically do like a lot of John Carpenter's work, but I just have never, and it's more of a get around to it, because it's really not that scary as what people tell me. It's just, one, it was horror, and I just was never into horror. And then two, I just never, it's just never been a thing. Like, why? I kind of know what it's about. So, you know, maybe one day that might be one on my list that I may eventually sit down and just watch, just because I need to see, from a filmmaking perspective, what the hype is about. Because that's the thing that a lot of people tout with that movie, is how well it was filmed and how because the whole thing of the less is more type of way it was filmed. And that's what they want. That's what, especially my friend who keeps trying to get me to watch. He's like, you got to watch it just to appreciate the way it was filmed. I'm like, one day, pal, one day. So
in that same vein, and I don't want to use this as my other one, but to jump off what you're saying about that horror movie and what we just said about what I like about horror movies, again, seen all the other ones, never seen Alien. I've seen Aliens. I've seen Alien 3. I've seen all the AVP movies and the one where they resurrected Ripley or cloned her or whatever. I've seen all of them. Never seen Alien, and that is apparently my kind of horror movie.
That blows my, like, that genuinely blows my mind. You haven't seen that one. I would not have pegged that for being one of your movies. Wow.
Yeah, yep. All the other ones. I've seen them multiple times. Never fell into Alien.
Wow. Alien's really well done. It's a good movie.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I should just watch it, because, you know, it sounds like it's my kind of horror movie. And I'm sorry. Remember what everybody says. All the others are sci-fi movies. That's a fucking horror movie.
It is. It's a horror movie on a spaceship. It really is.
Yep.
All right, Rob, number three for you.
Well, since we're talking about horror movies, I never saw Scream.
Scream?
Same.
I saw the first one.
And Halloween.
Yeah. I saw the first one in the theater, and it didn't move me. Like, I You guys know Johnny. We've had Johnny on the show here a couple times. He's a big Scream fan. He loves it. Tina loves them again. It's another one she has on DVD, the whole series. I minus the last two or three and the one that's getting ready to come out. I saw the first one in the theater. I think it got overhyped for what it was, or maybe I just missed the point of what it was supposed to be, but it didn't move me enough to watch any more than that. So, Jason, number three, or was Alien
Celtic
your
Pride.
Favorite? Say it again.
Celtic Pride.
I don't even know what that
I've
is.
I've never seen it, and I don't want to. It was what, Rob? It's Bill, not Dan Aykroyd and somebody else, and they kidnap the star player of the Lakers so that, and they go on this hijinks thing. It's game seven of the finals, Celtics Lakers, they're Celtics fans. They kidnap the star player of the Lakers so he can't play in the game. It's this long comedy movie, and it's obviously beloved around here. The moral of the story is that they end up feeling bad for him. They let him go, and the Lakers win. Fuck you!
No, because this one, because Damon Wayans is playing the guy that kidnapped.
Yeah.
Damon Wayans was on this run at this point. Like, he did several movies where he played a professional athlete. And because, I mean, I think he's a pretty tall dude, and he looks like a guy who could play sports. So, like, he was a basketball player and he was a boxer and he was a quarterback.
I mean, take any of his characters from any of his movies and put them in nowadays. That's NBA player number five.
Yeah. So at that point, yeah, he was just playing professional athletes in a bunch of movies. But I have not seen Celtic Pride.
I didn't even know it was a thing until you guys just brought it up. So that tells you where I'm at. Something
wrong. Pretty sure it was Dan Aykroyd. I can't remember who the other guy was.
That's wild. Yeah, all right. My number three is actually on Rob's list, Godfather. And I'm checking in my Italian card here. So, okay. This is one of those movies that I have seen bits and pieces of over the shoulders of people who were watching it, whether it was because my ex-roommate, The Godfather wasn't a movie. It was a documentary. Okay. So that's how he watched it. It was like a documentary. My mother loved The Godfather movie. But again, it was kind of when she watched them, I was rather young. They're rather violent and the content and everything in there, she wouldn't let me watch them. But as kids, you know, you peek over shoulders and things like that. But again, it's one of those movies, like Rob said, you know, just about like, you know, about the horse's head and you know about, you know, the brother, it's, you know, all the little nuggets. And it's like, it's one of those movies. I've never seen it, but I've seen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just so prevalent in American culture now. Like it's one of the movies.
Yeah.
But if you ever do watch it, I recommend watch it. Obviously Godfather Part One, The Godfather, and then The Godfather Part Two. Right. But if you can find it, there is a cut that they used to run on AMC, and it was specially made for AMC. I'm talking, this was in the 90s. It was specially run. It was a cut of Godfather 1 and Godfather 2, and it was entirely chronological order.
Okay.
It was not flashbacks when, you know, in certain parts, because, okay, you guys have never seen it, but the movie is not in chronological order. We bounce around.
Okay.
So.
All right. It's one of those ones I'll probably get around to it at some point when I have, you know, like 92 hours to dedicate to watching this film. So it's something I'll get around to. It's just never been a thing. And that embarrasses my Italian friends and my
family.
Wait
a second. Can we make a promise to the listeners? Can we give ourselves 1 month and each of us watch one of those damn one of our own movies? I will promise to watch Star Trek the Motion Picture at one point this month.
Okay. I will watch. Well, let's finish the list because I've got a couple more.
Because I've seen a lot of movies.
Okay. So then we'll figure out which movie I want to watch and we'll report back in exactly 1 month and we'll talk about it. Okay. That sound fair?
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
All right. For you, the listeners, hold us to that. If you follow me on the app formerly known as Twitter at The Mindless Pod, you hold us to that. In 1 month's time, we're going to watch a movie that's on our list and we're going to come back to it and we're going to talk about it on this show.
I got two more.
You got two more. I've got two more. Rob, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to save the best one for the last.
Okay.
So my fourth one is Caddyshack.
Jesus.
Okay, I'm a little shocked there, but
yeah, that one blows my mind.
Well, because all right, those early, I didn't see Caddyshack, and then I didn't. It took me forever to see Animal House, because I didn't. Yeah, I just missed the. Well, I was too young to see it in the movie theater, and you know,
I've never seen Animal House, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, so I just didn't get around to it. So
yeah, okay, all right. So now my list is about to get into some deep waters, especially with my whole.
Oh, here we go. You'd be like Star Wars: A New Hope.
No.
I'm gonna come through the screen.
My last one may be a little bit heavier on you guys than that, but I'm going to go with my next to the last, which again is a shocker to most people. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Wow.
I told you.
I feel like that's right up your alley, man.
Okay.
Oh, come on, man.
Let me explain two things.
Listen, it's overrated as hell now. Let's call it what it is. It is an overrated movie by the general populace. However, it's worth seeing once.
So,
oh, stop. Okay. No, stop.
I can't take Brendan Fraser seriously at any point in any time. At any point in my life have I been able to take that man seriously. He is a goofball.
Brendan Fraser? Go on.
What's the actor's name?
Matthew Broderick, and that's what I'm getting into.
That's it.
I had never seen it because I just had never seen it. There was a lot of movies in the 80s that I really just refused to see. This was one of them, mainly because I didn't like him. I saw him in War Games. I hated War Games, and I hated him in it. So I was like, anything that he was in was not going to be a selling point for me. As life goes on, I started hanging out with friends. Like, man, you got to see it. Like Jason said, at least once. So by this point, I had seen the 1996-97 Godzilla movie with Matthew Broderick, and it absolutely solidified that I would not watch anything else with him in it. But I did sit down. So this is part two of why I refused. This is a refuse to watch. This I will not watch and review in a month with you guys. I can promise you that. I finally sat down. It was on HBO or something. I'm like, all right, I got to sit down and watch this fucking movie. It's an hour and a half of my day. I'll get it through it and it'll be done. And then I'll never have to speak of it again. And in the first minute, he breaks a fourth wall. And I am very, very, very particular about fourth wall breaks. And at that point in time in my life, I hated fourth wall breaks. I was like, okay, I already don't like this guy. And he's breaking the fourth wall. I'm done.
And now he's talking to me.
So it's no, I didn't even make it past the opening segment of that movie.
I understand. My point kind of piggybacks directly off that, actually, of why I don't really care for it. Like, it's good, and it's a well-made movie, and it's funny, but he's upon a couple different viewings, he's just a little too smug. And I'm just like, all right, man, we get it. I don't know. Something's off. I don't like it.
All right. Wow. And a little too smug is going to play into the last movie of mine. But before I get into that.
All right, Rob, what's your last movie?
You're number five.
Okay, so DJ talked about having to turn in his Italian card.
Oh, no.
This one almost got me excommunicated and almost got me sent over to you guys. It's okay.
Jesus.
I have not seen The Color Purple.
Wow.
And understand, okay, if you're in my age group, if you're a black person in my age group, that is one of those movies that you absolutely positively had to see.
What movie got nominated for an Oscar?
It got the movie got nominated for 11 Oscars and it didn't win any. Okay.
Yeah, that is some bullshit.
Which is why, okay, it could.
No, the all you need to know about the Academy is this. Color Purple, nominated for 11 awards, 1-0.
And
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, nominated for 11 awards, 1-11.
Okay, and now, so if I'm sure you've seen some people already who are already, you know, guns blazing about Sinners, right? Well, that's because we still have PTSD from The Color Purple. Right? and that's because so we expect to get fucked again. Okay.
Yeah.
But that being said, I have not seen The Color Purple. It just did not interest me. It was just not my kind of movie. And so upon when I told that to people, they just looked at me like, I thought I knew you. like what in the hell?
Sir, you go stand over there with the white people now.
Yeah. I almost got traded for some random white guy who pledged a black fraternity, and, you know. Okay.
Hey, you know what? I think we unfortunately have possession of him. So if we can offload Jason Whitlock, I'll take Rob.
Rob, they're going to trade you for Cody Rhodes in a minute.
Exactly. y'all want Raheem? You can take him. We'll take Rob.
I bet Cody Rhodes has seen The Color Purple.
Yeah, I bet he has.
Yeah, Brandy's probably made him watch it.
My God. Oh, that's amazing. Funny.
But yeah, I never saw it, and like my parents didn't go see it because my parents were not big movie buffs anyway. And so like there are a few movies my dad absolutely loved. Like Top Gun. But my parents weren't big movie buffs, so they weren't in any hurry to take us to go see anything. Unless they didn't take us to movies usually unless there's something that we wanted to go see. Right. But
well, in that age, you're probably not asking to go see The Color Purple.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I was like 12 years old or something. It was one of those, for me, it's just I'm not into this type of stuff. And so I never got around to watching it. And then, so people gave me a bunch of crap for not ever seeing it. And you know what? I'm still not interested in going to see it, okay? I'm just not. Sorry.
All right, Rob. Let's not get you into trouble. Deej, what's your?
Let's not dig the hole any deeper, buddy.
What's your haymaker, DJ? I'm almost scared to ask.
Yeah. Rob Bonnet Senior. I am so sorry. Uh-oh. It's Top Gun, guys.
Oh no!
It's Top Gun.
Really?
It really is. Okay, let me explain why.
Oh, bro.
Well, when we go back to Smug, Too Cool for School, there was a time period. Now, this is funny because I have come full circle on this. I hated Tom Cruise, and I hated everything about Tom Cruise movies because he played the same fucking guy in every movie.
He sure did.
Smug, too. Now, funny thing is, I love Tom Cruise now because he plays the same fucking guy.
He's the same guy.
But, dude, like, watch the movie for 10 minutes. Maverick is a smug motherfucker.
He is. Now, what's funny is I've seen Maverick. You know, I went up to see my dad a few years ago, and he had Maverick on like TNN, or it's one of the TV shows he was watching, and Maverick ended up being the next movie. I'm like, well, I guess we're going to sit here and watch this. And I'll be fair, I enjoyed the shit out of it.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
So Top Gun,
the greatest motion pictures ever made. So like
eventually I'll go back and watch it. But yeah, it was I am avoiding this film because I could not stand. Like I saw Risky Business. That was the first Tom Cruise movie I ever watched. It was Risky Business. I enjoyed it. And then I watched The Color of Money. And then I watched Cocktail. And then by then I was like, he's the same fucking dude in every movie. You know, so I just
yeah.
I was
and he's amazing in every single one.
I didn't get roped back into Tom Cruise until what was the one where he was the lawyer? The Firm. Was
it the firm?
Yes.
Yeah. He was a JAG lawyer and a Few Good Men.
Yeah, I saw A Few Good Men after I saw The Firm. The Firm is what brought me back to the dance with Tom Cruise, and I've been hooked ever since.
He did not like A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
Well, because everybody's. Yes, we know, Rob. Colonel, what does he say about Colonel Jessup?
Basically, like he would have fucked everybody over. you don't put somebody like him on trial in real life.
No,
you're fucked.
yeah,
that's actually a career ender.
Yeah.
All right, so movie on our list that we're gonna come back, we're gonna watch, and we're gonna.
Yours is Top Gun. What? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yours is Top Gun. I'm gonna watch Star Trek: The Motion Picture. And DJ, on a serious note, you will appreciate Top Gun as much, or actually, maybe I hope more than Maverick when I tell you this. That's all practical effects, Bubba. That is real fighter jets doing real shit. Like, they got American trainers to play the MiGs, because obviously they didn't have MiGs, and they just called them MiG-28s. But other than that, they're real aircraft doing real stuff. So, yeah, you'll appreciate some of the shit they get.
I'll do that one. I was going to do Halloween, because I was going to continue with my self-imposed ban of Top Gun for no particular reason, just to be a jerk. It'll happen. It'll be Top Gun, and that'll be my movie that I talk about. Rob, what about you?
Okay, I'm seeing what you. Okay, I'm not watching The Color Purple. Sorry.
That's like me with The Godfather. I'm not doing that. I don't have that kind of time.
Hey, if it one day gets Rob on my team, I support it. he ends up a free agent somehow.
I'm gonna see what James Bond movies there are available on the streaming service.
Just do Casino Royale. It's decided.
Netflix has got all of them, Rob.
You do?
Okay. Yeah, and Netflix has all of them. So do Casino Royale, and then.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, sounds good.
Okay, so that's a wrap on that. We are going to go to commercial. When we come back from commercial, we are going to talk NXT Vengeance Day. But before we go to break, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We have a t-shirt represented there. Go check them out. Go pick one up. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your bodies will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back. I want to thank you for sticking with us here at the Mindless Wrestling Podcast and all of our shenanigans. Now we're going to talk some wrestling. You guys tuned in for 30 minutes to listen to us talk about movies. This is a wrestling podcast. We're going to talk some wrestling. NXT had Vengeance Day this past weekend, as is customary on this show. Jason is going to handle the duties of going down the card, and we're going to talk about this one because, frankly, I enjoyed the hell out of it. Jason, the show is yours.
So, kicking off the show, we had Blake Monroe and Jada Parker in an absolutely fantastic street fight because they did my favorite thing. They just beat the shit out of each other. So, Rob, what did you think of Blake Monroe's victory over Jada Parker
in this street fight? I really enjoyed this match, and one of the biggest things for me was that when, you know, I've talked about before with these weapons, matches, or whatever, they too often they can just kind of devolve into just a ridiculous kind of stunt show where they're just doing stuff to do it, and, you know, they take 10 years to set things up, you know. So one thing that really stood out for me with this match in a good way was that there were several times where one of them did spend a lot of time setting something up. And every time they did that, they paid for it. Every time one of them pulled the table out from under the ring and took forever to set it up. By the time they got set it up, their opponent was back on their feet and nailed them in the head or whatever. And that happened throughout the match. Every time one of them went for some contrived thing and took forever to do it, they paid for it. And to me, that was a very important thing because there are fewer things I hate worse than when people take 10 years setting something up and then the other person has to lay there for
it's 5 minutes. I understand it's a cartoon. I understand there are theatrics, but it's also a sports show.
Yeah.
Don't give your opponent forever.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really important to me that they did that.
Yeah. It's, while no one on this show has any illusions about what we're watching, I do like to, I need to believe in what you're doing. And I believed that these two girls were in a fight trying to beat each other's asses. And they did beat each other's asses. It was excellent. I thought they had great chemistry. This type of match is usually the clincher. This is the blow-off match. I would love to see these two go at it somewhere again down the line. Maybe in 2 or 3 years when they're both on the main roster. I thought they had fantastic chemistry. We just lost Jason again. One thing I liked about Jada Parker, because she's been injured recently, right?
Yeah.
So she's been injured. She did some stuff in this match that a lot of people don't do. We talk a lot of times on these shows about selling. And she went for a hip attack, missed, injured her hip, and ended up selling the hip for the rest of the match, to the point where I really thought, because you know when you watch these matches and you can tell the point in the match where you think, okay, somebody just injured their shoulder. This is going to figure into the finish. And 9 times out of 10, it ends up figuring into the finish. They put them in a hammer lock or they wrap them up in some kind of thing where the shoulder has, they have to tap. I really thought that the hip was going to play a factor in the finish. That's how well Jada was selling it. And they didn't do that. They went with the diamond spot, and then they did the the spot onto the diamonds and everything. And then I thought the finish was excellent. But, yeah, that's really was great work on both women's parts. But I wanted to give Jada Parker a special shout out there.
Yeah, because she did an excellent job like selling stuff the whole match.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I guess one more thing is that I thought I'll point out that Blake dressed differently for the street fight.
Yes.
Because normally she wears sparkly pink or whatever type of stuff. And, she had, I think she had on pants and she was wearing all black. And because a street fight is, unless you're somebody who normally wrestles in something that looks like street clothes, like Jada Parker's ring gear doesn't look that much different from street clothes. But if you are somebody whose regular gear is not suited for a street fight, if you are in a street fight, you should dress like you're coming for a street fight. And too often now, that doesn't happen. Too often now, it's a no holds barred, barbed wire, exploding cage, sharks with laser beams around the ring match. And they come out, and whoever it is, man or woman, comes out there, and they come out there in their rainbow colored gear and all of this type of stuff. And, with trunks on and with no pants, they still got their trunks on.
That they're in a singlet or something.
Yeah, and it's just like really?
Yeah.
Look, I grew up in the old NWA days where you wore jeans and cowboy boots for a street fight.
God, I miss those days.
Yeah, .
All right, Jason, what's next?
So next we had Dion Lennox and the new Tony D'Angelo in a good old-fashioned wrestling match. Tony's debuting this kind of new bend on his character. He kind of dropped or softened the accent, and he's kind of just being almost a vigilante type dude. I had a good time. Tony won. DJ, what'd you think?
This match was interesting because this was billed as a wrestling match, but it did not start as one. This started out in the parking lot. Like, this was a street fight. This was a match that started off as a street. We just got out of a street fight, which was excellent. And we went directly into a match that started out as a street fight, and they were beating the bag out of each other. But it was, what I found interesting was the way it was filmed. It looked like a movie fight. And I mean that in all the complimentary ways. Like, it was really, really well done. And they were beating the snot out of each other. Dark State came out and got involved a couple of times. At one point, Tony D was just taking a beating. Just taking a beating. Then he'd fight back a little bit and he'd get the upper hand. And when it was just one-on-one with him and Dion Lennox, he was whipping his ass. And then Dark State would come back in. Then before the actual match itself started, Out the Mud came out and saved Tony D. So we finally get this thing into the ring, and I'm loving this new direction with Tony D'Angelo. because I was really the mob boss gimmick was fine for NXT, but if he's going to go to the main roster, we got to do something else. Like, that's not a main roster gimmick. And I was a little worried about creatively what he was going to be able to come up with if the call ever comes. Buddy, you can take that show right to the main roster today. It was that good. And not forgetting about the other person in the match, this Deion Lennox kid is one to watch. He was excellent. Excellent in this match. I had so much fun.
Rob?
Yeah. So, I mean, I love the way they started out in the parking lot because, again, you know, you just had the street fight in the ring with the weapons and all that stuff. And you have two, and your next match are two guys who are no more as fighters than like ring technicians. But you don't want to do exact, you don't want to do the exact same kind of thing back to back. So they started this out in the parking lot. And then they made their way to the ring. And I agree with you everything about, look, I love the Tony D'Angelo character, but I mean, there was the previous iteration. But yeah, that doesn't have much hope for a main roster kind of thing.
That's a gimmick mid-carder on the main roster.
If yes. That. I mean,
like a jokey gimmick mid-carder.
If that, yeah. I mean, so, like you said, they needed to come up with some type of tweak or a new direction to take the character in if there's going to be any hope for him in the future. And so, I said, well done with that. And get Deion Lennox, he's going to be down there for a little while longer, of course. But he's definitely one to watch. And so, look, for me, this was 2 for 2 after this one.
Yep.
Oh, and that guy could take that character to the main roster, progress with that character, and then have a family in a week. Like, once you build that character enough, then you just go, okay, yeah, this is the new family. He doesn't wear suits all the time anymore. And, you know, we kind of soft resurrect that character. Okay. Like, I feel like that's pretty easy to do. But yeah, as is, the Godfather gimmick was not gonna fly day one on the main roster.
It was fun, and we'll always have the memories of.
Oh yeah,
How many people did they watch?
The feud with Legado del Fantasma was incredible TV.
Yeah,
like it really was.
Yeah, that kind of like mob war deal they did for a while, that was so much fun.
It was. That was a hell of a lot. That was a good era to watch NXT. Especially coming into the rebrand to the 2.0 era. Yeah. Such good
stuff. Yeah. And that honestly would fly on the main roster. The problem is you can't always do that kind of stuff.
Right. Right.
So anyway, moving on, we had the women's North American title. Izzy Dame was defending. Yeah. Izzy Dame was defending against Tatum Paxley. And Tatum Paxley walked away with the win. All I have to say is both those girls' arrows are pointing directly up. Rob.
Yeah, and now when we were watching it, I did say they were kind of in got stuck in a bad spot because you just had two, like, you had a street fight with a bunch of weapons and stuff, and then you had a match that started as a street fight. Those were both, like, really high intensity kind of things. And then, you know, the proper wrestling match kind of got stuck coming after both of those.
Yeah.
You know what? Both did really good. And like I said, arrows pointing up for both of them. And they're not finished with each other. And but I really love the finish.
Oh, the finish was spectacular.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, where Tatum just like fired up one more time, was just like, I'm sick of your shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it worked. It works perfectly for her character.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great job, and again 3 for 3 after this one.
Yeah, I loved the vignettes they were doing prior to the match, like the build up hype, the stuff with Tatum, and then the stuff with the two of them sitting in front of the dollhouse talking to each other. The match was great, and we talked last week about smart booking and the way shows flow and the placement of the matches on the card and things like that. This was smartly done because, like Rob said, we just came off of two high-energy, intense, violent matches to a straight wrestling match. Like, no gimmicks, no frills, wrestling match. That, a lot of times, after a match like the one before it, ends up being what we call the death slot. However, we were in Orlando on their home turf, and that I don't think they're at Full Sail. They're at the Performance Center or the Full Sail, wherever they're at these days. That hometown crowd pops for everything. And yeah. A good crowd will prevent and I don't want to say this wasn't a great match because it was excellent. The match was excellent, and it was a great follow-up to the one before it. But a lot of times, even a lot of great matches have been buried by a dead crowd because they're exhausted from the match before it. The match was hot. They were the crowd was hot. They were alive for this match, and I think it helped at least what you're watching on TV, because sometimes when you're watching on TV, it's plain as day how the crowd reacts from the match before it to the death match spot or to the death spot. And this one, they weren't like that. They were just as hyped for this match as they were the one before it. So kudos to those girls for keeping it hot. Kudos to the booking for probably catching that and putting it the way they did and where they did.
Yeah, and look, kudos to Dawn and the crew for trusting those girls to go out and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And they delivered. Like, the trust was absolutely warranted because they delivered it.
Because they could have kept that to 8 minutes and just said, okay, you know, crowd's probably going to be kind of dead or whatever for this, so we're just going to keep it shorter and just get to get out. But they,
nope. You know, they gave them runway and time to cook.
Yeah.
Yep. And the ladies continue to not disappoint because next we had Kalani Jordan and Lola Vice in a NXT Underground match. I love NXT. I love Underground.
I do too.
It's so much fun. Yeah. And these girls had an awesome time, some good technical shit. And Lola ended up picking up the win. Rob, what did you think of the return of NXT Underground?
Oh, well, look, I always love the Underground stuff. And, you know, look, because, look, at, you know, Raw Underground, when they were doing it, was wonderful. And so, yeah, I always enjoy these matches. And, again, another great finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one was fun. I had a couple of little nuances that I liked with this one. Again, like Rob talked. Understand the assignment. And Kalani, well, both girls, you know, obviously Lola always comes out the part when she goes into these tight end. Shout out to Lola Vice, you know, 4-0 in these things now. But Kalani came out in some killer gear, had her hair braided back, looked like she was ready for a fight. Didn't look like she was coming out to be cute and, you know, all this stuff. And I really have to put her over here because we've been talking about Kalani for a while now. The first time I saw her on Level Up, I was like, okay, I see the vision. She's a hell of an athlete. Like, she's incredible. But the bubbly, fun, smile, and just happy to be here thing wasn't cutting it. Like, it was okay. Like, her first North American championship run, it was okay. You saw the vision. This heel turn for her has been chef's kiss. I think she's found that next gear. She's found that next thing. And for her to even be out of her element with this underground type of situation, she looked like she belonged there. It felt good. Everything about it. I had a lot of fun with this one. And I'm looking, again, two arrows pointing up. Lola Vice and Kalani Jordan.
All right. So last, the main event of the evening, we had the NXT champion Joe Hendry defending his title against one Ricky Saints. I think... we had a lot of fun. We had ref bump at the end. We had trading low blows. We had all sorts of fun stuff. And Joe ended up winning. Rob, what did you think of the main event of NXT Vengeance Day?
Weird as this may sound, I thought it was fine. I thought, you know, I thought it was fine. I was not as, I guess I just wasn't as into this as the rest of the card. It's crazy, but again, I thought it was fine. They did a fine job. Both of those guys are great, but yeah, I dug the other stuff more.
It was fun, but it was kind of everything went about the way you expected. DJ?
Yeah, I would say it was my fifth favorite match of the night. No insult because the work put into it was good. The story they were telling was good. I just loved this one the least out of all of them. This was very much the sports entertainment match of the night. All in all, and I think right now, I think Joe Hendry is a good brand ambassador for NXT, just with his own cachet of fans that he brings in. He's perfectly fun to watch. And, you know, I think Ricky Saints has got a hell of a future here. I like what they're doing with him and Ethan Page, though. And I found myself more focused on the two of them than the actual match, because this is obviously it's going somewhere. We saw it again, Tuesday night with Ricky sliding the belt all the way across and out of the ring on Ethan Page. So, you know, there's a story being told. I'm here to see where the story goes, because I think it's very interesting. And I think eventually this leads to one of the two of them, if not both of them, heading up to the main roster after WrestleMania.
Robert, anything else to add?
Not really. Just honestly, those guys are great, but I just, you know, the other stuff just had my attention more.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it. It was the fifth best match on a really awesome card. I think everything else just, like, there were more gimmicks and kind of story going into all the other matches, and they all delivered. So this one, it was worse by default, and that's not even like a knock.
Yeah. I would say the only low point, like I said, the show was awesome. I think the only low point came and somewhere around the middle. We had and I hate being this way because it wasn't their fault, but we had a ladies promo with not Toxic Attraction, and then Zarya came out, and then Sol Ruka came out. But before Sol Ruka came out, Zarya, there was this weird pause, like somebody in the back miscued on the music for Saul's music. So all three girls are like sitting there for what was a good 3 to 5 seconds staring at each other, because Zarya reached the end of her promo. And then like they were supposed to hit Saul's music and they didn't hit it. And then they didn't hit it. And then they still didn't hit it. And all three girls are in everybody, I think Robert Stone was in there trying. And Robert Stone, bless his heart, he's got the most experience out of anybody in there. And he's trying to save this because he's realized what's happened at this point. And then they finally hit Saul's music. And that's horrible because the promos were really good. You know, I've never really, beyond her interactions with Saul, I haven't really heard Zarya cut too many promos. And she sounded pretty good. She sounded very articulate out there. Saul is improving, you know, on the mic. So it's a shame that little production snafu kind of ruined what might have been a really good segment. And then it just kind of, at that point, it just kind of took everybody out. That's really the only down part of that show. And I'm not holding that against the talent at all, because they did, you know, what they were sent out to do, and, you know, production kind of screwed them up. Somebody missed their cue, and it stinks. So, but all in all, man,
my favorite thing about Zarya is that, like, she's never out of her gimmick. So she's always got the face paint on and stuff. Yeah. So when she does cut these promos, even if she's wearing like semi-casual clothes, it's like they're doing like this barbarian with a brain gimmick. And I know that's not what they're going for. And I don't mean that in any sort of insulting way, because she's very articulate with her promos. So yeah, it's just a fun little, wrestling's the best.
Shout out to her t-shirt for keeping the gimmick alive that said Saul's X.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I popped. So, yeah, NXT continues to be, in my opinion, probably the best and most easily digestible wrestling show on American TV. And this show was another shining example of that. Sean's cooking down there. The talent is working its ass off. It was a lot of fun.
Yep. And we got a lot of good women's matches and good women's actions and women's segments. So John continues to do the best there. They're just part of the show now, guys. We don't even think about it. We don't even think, wow, they were light. You never, ever, ever walk away from them being like, wow, they were kind of light on women's stuff that night. Yeah.
A minus the second match in the main event, this was almost a full women's pay-per-view.
Yeah.
There were three actual women's matches and then a women's segment in the middle. They absolutely dominated the show, and they all showed out. They really did. It's incredible what they're doing down there in NXT, and I love it. I love that for them. And, you know, I just love it for me as a fan and anybody else that enjoys it.
And the important thing.
10 lashes with the NXT Women's North American Championship to the guy in the truck. 10 lashes.
Yes.
Because he ruined a perfect score. They had a perfect score, and the guy in the truck ruined it.
And then also, like, at no point, they never got on commentary and didn't say, "Hey, everybody, look at all these women on this show."
Nope. Because
it's another day at the office in NXT, and I love that.
And I guess lastly, this is kind of a rebuilding year for them because last year, during the course of the year, they lost Roxanne, Stephanie, and Julia.
Yeah.
Last year. And then, they kept progressing through the year, and then last at the end of the year. And so now, and I think they were expecting Saul to go. Because, I mean, it's just kind of being like 50 year senior year now, and not that anything's bad or that, but it just, I mean, at least for me, it just kind of feels like, okay, she's hanging around because they didn't call her yet.
That's fair.
And, but they've
lost. She's done cooking. Certainly seems like. But I mean, if anything, Rob, what you're saying is a compliment.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a knock on her, but. It's just, it feels like, okay, well, because I think maybe they weren't going to do the split because they thought she was going to go up, and then she didn't go up, so then they figured, okay, well, I guess we'll do it.
Yeah. They're going to have to move some of these girls up because they just had another tryout session, and WWE NXT just hired a couple of demons for the women's division, and they're going to have to clear out some space for these girls because – The two that I know of are probably going to come in there and run that roster pretty quickly.
Yeah. And
as always, the disclaimer that we're not saying they're going to have to. We've just been watching this and we know how this works.
Yeah.
Once that roster gets to a certain point and there's only so much TV time, we know what's a-coming.
Yeah. They lost and Jordan Grace went up. So they lost like five women who were – the workhorses,
top players, players in the division.
So they're trying, and then I think again, Saul is more than likely going soon. So they're also trying.
Blake could go tomorrow.
Yeah, but
she won't though.
She won't though. But I mean, like that's what I'm saying. Like there are people that, it's time, or I could totally see that.
And they're trying to slide some, and they're also trying to slide some women into bigger roles now, like. Brandon Sinclair and Kendall Gray. And so this is kind of.
Tatum Paxley has climbed the ladder in the last year.
Yeah.
There's only so much show to go around.
Yeah. So, like, they're moving some pieces around this year. So, but all that being considered, they're doing a really good job with what they have to work with. Because, again, there's a lot of movement going around. And so, booking a weekly show where. You've already lost five big people, and you've got one or two that may be gone any day now.
Literally, you might get the call that like a Tuesday morning. Yeah. Like, hey, she's got to pack her bags because she's going to Albuquerque to do this.
Yeah,
and you got to figure out your show. Congrats.
Yeah. Because look, we thought Stephanie and Julia would be around longer than they were, and they were not. Kudos to Sean for making this thing work every week. Because like I said, he might know maybe the next month who he's going to have. But, he's got to work around, again, some people get called up and some people unfortunately get released too.
Yeah.
And it happens on NXT more than on the main roster. There's just the... When it's time for the churn, it comes. NXT. And so just kudos to everybody there for putting on these shows as good as they are.
And kudos to the talent for stepping up as the upperclassmen move out and graduate and head up to the main roster, or as people are unfortunately let go and positions come open, to the people that are stepping up their game, kudos to you, man. Like all of you, the entire package, the talent, the people behind the scenes, the commentators, the whole package in NXT is cooking, and it is, quite frankly, my favorite wrestling show on TV right now. So.
I'll echo that. And, like you're saying, I mean, it's obviously built that way as developmental, but of all the weekly wrestling entertainment that we watch, they have to deal with the most churn.
Yes. It's the most on the fly stuff that you can think of. So.
Yeah. And I guess, and for me, it is the most consistently easy to watch of all the shows.
Every week.
Everybody else, like Raw, SmackDown, and Dynamite, they have great weeks. And then even during the great weeks, there are some times where it's like, okay, can I get this over with?
Is it, there's every single show has the slog.
Impact on AMC has already had one. We're just like, all right, what's going on? Are we doing nothing this week? Hey, it happens.
It does. But guys, I think we're good. We want to get out of here. Call it an early night. Good.
I think Rob, probably good.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Let's call it a night. I'll go back around the room and thank my co-hosts like I always do, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. Rob, sir, good show tonight. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you, and I'm going to check the weather report because who knows how it's going to be here tomorrow.
You don't know what you're getting into tomorrow.
Hey, we had snow today. We had 85 Wednesday, and we had snow today, so who knows.
That's insane. Well, that's so crazy.
Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria.
All right, and Bucky's tag team partner, Jason, sir, thank you for a fun show. Good energy tonight. You guys perked me up. Like, I was like, Rob will tell you, man, when he first signed on and we were in the pre-show, man, I was like half asleep. I was just dying. I was just not doing well. You guys brought me back to this as you always do each and every week. Thank you.
Well, you can thank me later once you've seen Top Gun.
And for you, the listener, in 1 month's time, 4 weeks from this episode, we will come back. We will talk our movies that we have not seen that we are going to see. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, again, part of the Chair Shot Radio Network. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here until next week. Intro music provided royalty-free by Audionautix. That's www.audionautix.com. My go-to for all my podcasting royalty-free music needs.